by the dreadful beast. The beast of the field shall tear them, the Roman power. And that's not only when Jesus came, but it'll be a Roman pontiff on the holy see, they call it. It's an unholy see. The head of Vatican State, a nation in the United Nations right now, with their own country, their own flag, their own, they have a small standing army, but whenever they usurp the armies of the world, he'll have the army of Europe at least at his disposal. And that's going to be the final pope. Every pope is Antichrist. Amen. But the final pope will be the Antichrist. But who is to blame?
That mean Old Testament God. He's just a meanie. I don't see how anybody could worship him.
That's what you hear. You'll hear this from the scholars on the History Channel that I was talking about. They'll talk about the Old Testament God was, you know, first of all, he was a figment of their imagination. But they then would prophesy these things in order to scare everyone into, you know, coming under the control of the authorities. That's what they'll say, and that's total hogwash. Jeremiah was almost executed. He was thrown into the miry pit and almost died there. And then he was condemned, and just God saved him from being killed because he wouldn't go along with the authorities. And he was telling everybody, don't do what they're telling you to do. Don't fight. Just when Babylon shows up, give up, and I'll spare you, God says. See, these scholars take advantage of the fact they know that most people don't know the Bible. So then they spew this nonsense and everybody's like, oh, I never knew that. You're supposed to then search the scriptures to see if what they're saying is so. And if you do that, then you realize they're full of it. These people are just full of hogwash, baloney, and other words that could be used. So who is to blame? Is it the mean old God of the Old Testament? Look at verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. See that? So who's to blame?
Israel.
Israel's to blame. Who's going to be to blame for America's destruction? Americans. Amen. No one to blame but themselves. Note, willful sinners are self-destroyers. You know, the suicide rate right now is going through the roof. Very few are professing Christians. It can happen to Christians. I've got a message I thought 5 years, 6 years ago on suicide explaining all this. But, you know, there's nothing in the Bible says you commit suicide, go to hell. You shouldn't. It's a sin. It's wrong. It's terrible. Shame on you if you're even thinking about it, because you're going to leave all your loved ones in a wreck and a mess for doing that. But if a saved person especially can be put on medications or have a physical condition that puts them out of their head and they make a wrong choice. I mean, it's sort of like one time I was driving down the road. And I realized I missed my turn, and I whipped it this way. I don't know why I didn't realize I was in a 3-lane road, and on my side was 2. So when I whipped it, the other guy, bam, T-boned me right there. Suicide can be like that. People can just be out of their heads or not, really aware what's going on or whatever, and just boom, do something. And that's what that's the kind of thing. So be compassionate while also being very stern. Suicide is wrong. It's terrible. It's horrible. But really, there are a lot of Christians who don't necessarily aren't committing suicide, but they're still destroying their lives. Yeah. They're making horrible choices, doing things that are getting them into terrible situations and ending up dead or, you know, in a place where they end up dying. Willful sinners are self-destroyers. Obstinate impenitence is the grossest self-murder. That means obstinate. It's like stiff-necked. Impenitence means unrepentant. Refusing to hear. Folks, that's most people I've met. And if they don't turn around, they'll destroy their lives. Those that are destroyed of the destroyer have their blood upon their own head. They have destroyed themselves. Listen, there are a lot of people over the years who died because they totally do not rightly divide the Word of God. They think they're in the millennium, so they don't. I'm serious. They think that right now, when they read things about the millennium, they actually think that's for today. So since they don't rightly divide, they just think, oh, let me just float through life knowing. Even though they see all around them people being killed, murdered, raped, or whatever. And so that describes what we call pacifists. Quakers and people like that who didn't own guns or swords or anything, didn't protect themselves. And so men had to stand there and watch their wives and daughters raped, sometimes gang raped. And then they walk up and slice the throat. Good Christian people who don't study and understand the Bible. And because they don't, they're destroyed. Hey, what you believe can kill you. I've told about this before, but it's both in Christian and non-Christian. There are tens of thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses who are dead because they totally pervert the Bible and won't get a blood transfusion when they need one. There are mostly within Pentecostal groups, mostly, but I've known some Baptists who will not seek medical attention. They just think that they should be able to pray and God's going to heal them. And they die. Sadly, sometimes it's their children who die. Boy, because that's not what the Bible tells you to do. We're not in the millennium, folks. Just like you have to bathe yourself. You have to brush your teeth or your teeth are going to rot and fall out. The same thing's true about you if you want to eat. The Bible says if a man won't eat, he shouldn't eat. And the same thing's true about defending yourself and your family. It's all your responsibility. But if you backslide and go into apostasy, you'll see Christians start to lose their minds and go off into all kinds of stupidity and it'll destroy themselves and their families. And that's what happened in Israel. Think about how crazy it is. Wasn't it Jehu, if I remember right, goes and defeats an army of Edomites, I believe it was. He defeats them and then adopts their God. See how insane that is. Well, America is attacked by Muslims and now we have a record number of conversions of Americans to Islam. It's insane, but that's what happens when you get away from God. And that's what happened with Israel. Got away from the true God and started adopting all these false gods and idols and everything. So verse 9 ends with the but, and this is a good one. But in me is thine help. Just like I said, Jeremiah told him, if you fight, you're going to be destroyed. But if you will listen to me, you've earned this. You've earned what is coming. So just surrender to Babylon. He'll take you away for a little while, but I'll bring you back. And the ones who listened went away for how many years? 70 years. Jeremiah 25 told him so. Daniel later read that and figured it out. So, you know, Daniel, when they went home, was probably about 90. But there's no record of him actually going back. He was probably too old for the trip, they believe. But a lot of them did go back. But if those who see, like right now, I believe we have to defend ourselves. And I believe in wars of self-defense. But see, America has fought wars of aggression. Wars that, I mean, Saddam Hussein, for example, I don't want to anger anybody, but I'm just telling you how I feel about it. Saddam Hussein was a terrible man. didn't give America the right to attack him and to set up a Federal Reserve Bank and to do all that they've done in Iraq. We haven't done any favors to the Turks or the Kurds, I'm sorry. The Kurds in Iraq were better off before America invaded. Why? Because it was a aggressive war, offensive war. I believe in self-defense, but not aggressive offensive wars. And that's what Vietnam was. Vietnam was an aggressive offensive war. And then they tied our soldiers' hands behind their back and didn't let them fight. And on top of that. So, I think it was because it was a bad war to begin with. And so, Lyndon Johnson not only went cuckoo and fought that war stupid like that, he ended up losing his mind. After Nixon became president, he was down in Texas, and he went bonkers, lost his mind, and then died in that condition. Why? I just believe that's what's going to happen when you don't follow the word. Either you go too far this way or too far that way. Aggressive wars, pacifism, both wrong. Get away from the Bible, it'll get you destroyed. But in God is thine help. Why? Well, first of all, just by you understand His word, you're going to do right. And any individual can repent toward God and be forgiven. Amen. So people will call us haters because we declare the truth that certain things are sin. And that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And only one has come legitimately paying for your sin. God came as a man in the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin without the stain of original sin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, shed His blood, paid for the sins of the whole world, was buried in a tomb, and after 3 days, rose again, conquering sin and death. If you will repent toward God, believing that gospel, you are saved. If you won't, you are damned to an eternity in the lake of fire. And no amount of sweet talking and perverting the Bible is going to change that. Amen. But how many people have heard that message? Some people have gone to church their whole lives and never heard that message. Yeah. They'll call us haters for preaching it. Because we're telling people they're sinners. And we won't coddle to their sin. I don't care if you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a blasphemer, you're an adulterer, you're a sodomite, you name it, it's sin. It's not a lifestyle, it's sin. You don't like that, join the club and repent. Otherwise, you're going to pay for it. And if you pay for your sin, you pay for eternity. The wrong club, that's right. That's why we have the banner up there. I love to get that in your mind, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, because that was the ministry of the Apostle Paul, our Apostle, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And you got people out there who call themselves Pauline, and they call themselves dispensationalists. They're hyper-dispensationalists. And they'll say, Paul is our apostle. And then they'll tell you not to preach that. Think of that. They'll tell you not to preach repentance. That's where we're at. Apostasy is setting in. And when apostasy overtakes a nation, sin destroys it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:32. And we'll read 32 through 34, three verses. Proverbs 14, beginning 32, let's read all three verses together. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That seems like such a basic message, and yet it's all the difference in the world, John, right now in America. Yeah. All the difference in the world in Israel when Hosea was preaching. Amen. All the difference for Noah and all the difference for Lot is right there. Amen. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. God is not intent on and does not want to destroy anybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you persist, then you leave him no choice. But the righteous hath hope in his death. I mean, death is like the ultimate bad thing, right? Until you're saved. And then it's a door. There's hope. That's why when Christians die, we grieve because we're going to miss them. But we grieve knowing we're going to see them again, if you're saved. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. I was emphasized thereby. The odd people come and say, I mean, years ago my head could have just swelled up so big I couldn't get in this church because some lady come and said, you just have wisdom beyond your years, Greg. And I thought, oh boy, if my mom and dad could hear that, And I said, stop, yeah, I appreciate you. I know it's your intention is, but it's just this book. Amen. And if I get away from this book, you're going to see I'm as dumb as anybody. Amen. It's only when I'm in line with this book, you're going to see that kind of wisdom. Amen. And in that case, it's wisdom beyond any of our years, all of our years combined. It's the wisdom of eternity. But we have a banner we don't have up right now that shows this. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And sadly, that's where Israel was and where America is. But Israel has been judged. But a new day will dawn. He's not through with them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians. And that's after 1 Corinthians, just so you find 1 Corinthians, you're real close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading verse 12. It says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now, look what it says here. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Remember, Moses spent time with God and his head would glow. Why? Because in order to be in God's presence, he had to go through a transfiguration, just like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so then he'd come down off the hill, his head would glow, he had to put a veil over it. We could talk about that all night. But verse 14 says, but their minds were blinded. This is Israel. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Jenny and I watched his name Ben Kingsley, who played Gandhi, and he was narrating this documentary on the religion of Judaism. And it was just very sad. Yeah. Just sad. I mean, their synagogue is a total made-up thing, not from the Scripture at all. And it's basically like little kids playing house. They based it on the temple and came up with this whole synagogue thing system they've got, but it's not biblical at all. And they quote Scripture and totally blind to how it applies to Jesus. It's just an amazing thing. It's sad. And it says, like it says right here, until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away. But listen, folks, we know that. We know the Jews are blind and veiled. And in Israel, very few are Christians, and better than 80% of them are basically agnostic. And they're wicked. And there's so much wickedness in Israel. And American Jews are behind a lot of the wickedness taking place in this country with their control in the media and their control of money. George Soros, one of the most wicked men in the world, is a Jew. And he uses his billions of dollars to send people to hell, basically. And we know that. But it's not our place to attack them. It's not our place to try to, you know, enact vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And if you read your Bible, you know during the tribulation, it's going to be very bad for the Jews. In the rejection of Jesus Christ, 2/3 are going to die. It's going to be ugly. What do? We recognize the truth and the reality. We support their right to have a nation and we pray for them. That's all you do. Don't be joining any of these nutty KKK white supremacist groups or any of the black Hebrews or any of those and turning on the, against the state of Israel and the Jews, because you're a fool if you do. Verse 15 then says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Jenny and I watched it today. They would read from the Bible. I had no idea. So read verse 16 with me. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That's coming. There's coming a time after everything you read about in the 70th week of Daniel comes down to the end when Jesus returns. That veil is going to be taken away. They will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they're going to go into 1,000 years of peace where their Messiah rules Israel from a throne in Jerusalem. And finally, your country may be doomed. That goes out to all the nations of the world right now. Anybody listening, we have South African listeners. We have listeners in United States territories of Guam and other places. We have listeners in Mexico, Canada, England, Australia, all those places. We hear from them on a regular basis. They're listening. They're all out there. I don't care what nation you're in right now. It's doomed. Yeah. The Bible says when God returns, it's for all the nations to be suffering his wrath.
Yep.
But you can be saved.
Amen.
There's the good news.
Amen.
Let's go read about what this in Revelation 3. Verses 19 through 22. This is the church of Laodicea. Right now, there are basically two churches, the true church and the false church, represented by Philadelphia and Laodicea. If you're a Bible believer who has kept the word of God, you're Philadelphian. If you're a liberal apostate who's rejected the word of God and rejected the biblical gospel and so forth, you are in Laodicea. That is the church that is being set up in preparation for the Antichrist. Now look at verse 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now read verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's how you know this church isn't a true church. Jesus is on the outside. Bad teachers, bad theology out there all over the place will tell you Laodicea is a true church. It's not. Jesus is on the outside. Up above there it said that they are lukewarm, and it goes on to say that they don't realize that they are naked. Now as a Christian you're not naked, you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So these people aren't saved. This church is a false church. And God's calling on them to repent. He's knocking at the door and saying, if you'll open up, I'll come in. Read verse 21 with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That can be true for anybody hearing my voice right now. If you're unsaved, you can be saved. You can be spared. You will not suffer the wrath of God. You will be raptured out. Or if you die before the rapture, you will go immediately into the presence of the Lord. But if you reject this invitation we just read, you will be left behind. You will suffer the wrath of God. You will pay for your own sins, and you will pay for them for eternity in a lake of fire. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God's grace and mercy deserves our appreciation. Amen. We show that appreciation by being obedient. That means we are in His Word. We pray. We pray for others. We preach the gospel, hand out gospel tracts. We come to a local church for fellowship if we're able. And when we're here, we take part, we sing, and we give to support the work. We do all these things because He deserves it. Amen.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world.
All three, say goodbye to the onliners. 1, 2, 3. See you here, there, or in the air.
Story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. The darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. Dawn into noonday bright.